Is saying is true, and said the previous communicator was Cuba of America. We presume it was the president Cuba.
Yes, we may quite well. The Mormons.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure. Yes, it's of communication.
Yes.
Indeed, there have been through our verifications in the States.
Yes.
I have not been able. Indeed, it would be more correct to say that I have not tried to speak here in this country because, well, I haven't found any mediums that were, I suppose you might say, that I found sufficiently developed to the extent that I could speak in this manner. In America, especially some few years ago, there were many mediums who seemed to specialize in this particular type of phenomena, which now seems to be becoming more and more rare. It may well be due to the fact that with the increased pace of life and the changed conditions, very few people have the time or inclination or human distraction for people to devote much time to this subject. I had some interest in this before I came here, but more so since I've been here from the point of view of making contact. I keep my fingers still in the pie, you might say, of politics. But at the same time, I realize that in this modern time and age, it's quite impossible to approach politics in the same way, from the same way, that one would have done in my time. Things have changed so considerably that there's no comparison. And I think that is a tragedy in the world today, that the majority of people are inclined to think in a modern world with an outdated point of view, an outdated attitude of mind. That's why today you find that there's so much confusion in the world of politics. There's always been confusion in politics, obviously. It's always been a very underhanded game. When it's analyzed, it doesn't really bear too much to look into, but today it seems to me that you just cannot manage the affairs of the world, of countries, with an outmoded and outdated point of view and attitude of mind. You're standing today in a position which, frankly, is so appalling that it is very frightening, even to us who are, in a sense, of course, outside the range of material things. But nevertheless, although we are indeed outside the range of the effect, to some extent, of material things, there's an order of fact that we are concerned. We are concerned to such an extent that we are endeavoring to influence politicians, in particular in the world, who in themselves are bewildered, who are trying to bring about in their own way, and I think in many respects a very bad way, a solution to a problem which cannot be solved with methods which are employed, and the outdated attitude of mind which they bring to these problems. You cannot possibly hope to live peacefully in your world until you learn the most important factor of all. That man, because of his very nature, is complex, and the peoples will have, to some extent, their own particular ideology and way of life, and you just have to adapt yourselves to the fact that people will likely or unlikely choose the kind of government which they think they want. I know that it is a pointless, useless, hopeless thing to hold on to this idea that so many people have, that their point of view is right, or their form of government is better or right, and the other man is wrong. Form of government may be right for one nation or peoples, and not right for another. You just got to learn to live with each other. You just got to learn to give and to take. And it's no good, as I see it, to have this outdated idea that you get by the methods employed today, expect to hold firmly that which you feel is necessarily the right. You must live to live with each other. All this building up of atomic power and weapons, to my way of thinking, is foolish. And I think everyone realizes it's foolish. It's a complete and utter waste of money, time, and energy, which could be expended in other ways to help him less. But there is this terrible fear in the world. And the whole world today is afraid. Afraid what may come. And nothing is more sure. And while this fear continues, you will be building up more and more, which, unless something happens to stop it, will eventually lead to man's destruction. I feel that the nations have got to meet each other halfway. It's the only solution. It's ridiculous. It's crazy for any nation to feel that they can instill their way of life on another as things are today.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm very happy. Well, my name probably will mean nothing to you, because after all, you are English people, and I doubt very much if you have had the interest in the man discussing some who are bad, but the desire to make contact with certain people that you have in mind who might have something of value or interest to give that would benefit the human race. But I'd like to say here and now that there are many here, and I'm only one, many people who are interested in everything that's going on in the world. We are endeavoring to help and to influence people in high places, particularly those in high governmental positions, that they might be influenced in the right way to bring about the salvation of the world. We are horrified. We are appalled at the present situation that has arisen. I come to you completely in an unprejudiced state of mind. Naturally, none of us here could possibly have any egg to grind. We are concerned with the whole human race, not one nation or one group of peoples. We can see the good and we can see the evil in all nations and all peoples. And we have in ourselves experience sufficient to know that there is in all these various ideologies, ideals. Much that is good, much that is bad. We have seen the results too often during our lifetime and since we've been here. The man's greed and avarice, his intolerance, and his concern with material things to the extent that he has brought all mankind great unhappiness, great fear such as you have today. And man has yet got to learn. But the time must surely come, if he has to exist. He must learn to live with his neighbor. He must learn to give and to take. He must put the more than ever behind him the old ideas. That one nation is necessarily better than another nation. He must realize that the peoples of the world deserve good governance. He must realize for many years that it is impossible to continue the old way of life, thinking the old thoughts, the old ideas. Man has made power, money, his sole object. Man has become more and more immersed and more materially minded, more concerned with the things of the flesh. To the extent that if necessary, he will commit murder, individually and collectively and en masse. We have seen the results of two world wars, which no one won. In fact, I'm quite sure that some people would say that they in the world of those who lost gained most. No one would possibly win a war. There is no point in war. Nothing would be achieved by war. No particular way of life or ideology would be preserved by war. Anyone knows in the world that war would be the most fatal thing for all peoples, irrespective of their particular outlook and politic view. And yet we see politicians on the very brink of disaster, standing by their attitude of mind of 50 years ago, thinking that they can blast their way through such a situation. To us, it is indeed an unhappy state of affairs. And I am convinced that until you have men who are prepared to say we have reached the point where we realize that this is a futile state of mind and a futile way of life which we live, and we must rid ourselves of this fear. We must rid ourselves of these powers of destruction until such time as a great nation has the courage to dispense with all these weapons of war and stand, as it were, naked before the world as an example, until such time as a nation follows the super teachings of the Christ and all the great teachers, until such time as man himself has confidence in the power of the will of the love of God. Until such time as this example is set, there cannot be peace in your sand with your state of mind. If my passing seems in a state, my reactions to it infinitesimal, but since you ask, I can only say, strange as it may seem, but I was not surprised. In fact, I would go as far as saying that I was fully conscious, fully aware. I I had a little knowledge, such as it was, spiritual things I did not profess, that I was a spiritual man, any more than the average person. At the same time, deep rooted within me was a realization that the earth life could only be, and a school that could only be for the beginning of greater things. If it wasn't, if the whole thing was pointless and purposeless and useless, man's life would be a mockery if there was nothing beyond the so-called death. So deep rooted in me there was this sort of realization that it was, as it were, only the beginning of the earth life. When I came here, it was as if I was released for the first time from all the weight and the heaviness of the earthly existence, all the problems. They were certainly not our souls, but they were eased, and the load didn't seem so heavy. For a time, I was interested still, as indeed I am now, interested in the affairs, particularly of my own country. But it did not take me long to realize that it was useless and pointless to linger too much, too close to the earth. If I was to help the earth, the peoples of the earth, the people particularly near and dear to me, I had to have more knowledge, more experience. And I realized that to do that, I had to make progression. I realized, I suppose, almost in charity on your side, that man's journey was a tremendous adventure, for something which was to be experienced to the fullest degree, and from that attitude of mind which always has seen me from earth existence, it continues here. To me it was a tremendous adventure, and here I have been able to travel and to meet many people, to see many sights. Indeed, some of the things that I have seen beg a description. There are no words that could possibly describe what it takes, a life such as ours. Whatever one may say to you in reference to our world, it can only be a very pale, distorted vision of the truth. Crowds and crowds of people who must come flocking back to you, anxious to tell you of their happiness and their joy and their newfound life, can only give to you a pale reflection of reality. But I can say this, that no one need fear passing from your world to this. It is indeed an adventure to be looked forward to. It is an experience which in itself is so tremendous that words cannot describe or depict me. It is indeed a tremendous and wonderful adventure. Death is the gateway that releases the soul. Life in your world is sweet. It is vital. It is important. But it is only beginning. You are but children in a school, learning lessons, often very hard to learn, and often you fail, and you do not pass, as it were, the examination that is set you, very few do. But nevertheless, even the biggest dunce in the school of life, even the worst pupil, will find on his release from the body tremendous opportunity, tremendous joy in discovery. It is indeed the most wonderful thing, and you have no need, no one need fear the passing from the flesh to the spirit. But getting back to what I had to say in the beginning, though you may be able to do very little, indeed, more than possibly, you will be able to do practically nothing in this state of world affairs. I say to you, whatever the outcome, whatever the future may hold, cling to the realization that God will not permit his children to destroy themselves. There shall come, I am convinced, out of the chaos of today, a bright and new tomorrow, in which man will dwell in peace, because he will discover through his error and through his thought that experience, love, will make possible a new vision that will become a reality in time itself. Man must learn by his mistakes. Man must learn by his faults. But I say the urgency of the moment is tremendous, tremendous beyond comprehension. Wise government, and not just government of one nation, wise government throughout the world is essential. Men must not any longer act as children. They must act as God-given instruments. They must realize that they themselves have been placed in a position of great responsibility to God, but only to his people. And they must forget self in service, and they must learn to live with others in the truest sense, and they must not cling to outmoded ideas and ideals which no longer in a modern world make sense nor can bring peace and tranquility to the people who live. You must sacrifice and sacrifice again in misery to retain peace, and in the end the peoples of the earth will come together as one peoples, not separated and divided by creed and dogmas and religions and ideologies and things of the past. They will be under one banner, the banner of the living God, who is concerned about his children, who act indeed like children, without illumination of the mind and the spirit. Until that illumination of the mind and the spirit comes among mankind, there can be no true peace. The days, the old days, are finished. And man must realize that. He must seek a new world and help to create it by his thoughts, his wisdom and his action, being guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, which will flow more freely when man opens his heart and his mind to it. The time has come when man must decide for himself with his fate and the fate of the world. I know it is not impossible for mankind to live in harmony and in peace, but many sacrifices must be made. Many peoples must be prepared to give up many of the things that they hold dear, and they must realize that what was once in a different world good for them is not good for them today. Man must learn to share and to give and to sacrifice, and he must above all rid himself of the fear which he has created, not God. Man himself has created this condition, and man must learn to rid himself of it by sacrifice. Don't be despondent, is what I have to say. Realize and remember that we are endeavoring at all times to help you in every possible conceivable way. Where there is an open mind and heart, there can we enter, there can we work. We are striving more and more to break down the barriers, and I'm sure with God's help we shall succeed. Many souls give their blessings to you, for they know that both of you are endeavoring in a hard and difficult world to bring a little light and to give it strength to face that is to come. I know it is a hard task, and I know that you have to the past. It will make possible our future of life and from sins for the good of all, but we cling often to so much that is bad. We must rid ourselves of the bad parts and take our lessons from the good and develop them further for the benefits of the whole human race. He does the matter, in a sense, whether a man is this or that by religion, or by creed, or by politics. What matters is that he is an understanding soul who seeks the flesh in the true sense, that he is prepared to give up his necessary things which seem most dear, because even those things which often seem most important and most dear are but in themselves material things and of little real value. The man seeks the things of the spirit, and when he only aspires for that which is good and discards himself that which he knows to be evil, then indeed shall man conquer and climb to the heights, and peace shall truly reign. Man must learn through suffering. Indeed, when one considers what man has suffered through ignorance and foolishness, you think today things could be different. A man repeats the same mistakes because he clings to the old ideas, which he knows over and over again failed him. This is a time when you could indeed do great things in the world, when you yourselves are true to your innermost heart. He needs strength, and you must have strength. We will bring you strength, especially then, but you must make your efforts. You know well, all of you, without that effort, nothing can be achieved. Do not live in the past. Live for this moment and for that which is to come. Mold your future and make sure that as you mold it, you are creating something which is worthy of the children of a living God, who indeed is a living God, who is a power beyond your comprehension, who is anxious at all times for man's welfare, but gives him free will so that by true merit he may deserve that peace which is to come. It is a joy to speak to you. It is a joy to be here. And I shall hope to have the opportunity to come again some future time. In the meantime, my friend, may God be with you, as I know you will, and bless you with your efforts. Do all hear my voice. Cast from yourselves all the selfishness of human nature. Forget the past, particularly that which is of no value. Think of the moment and that which is to come. Mold the future in God's way. You should be blessed indeed. Cast from yourselves fear, and all shall come to pass in time, according to his will. My peace, my blessings I give to you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
It was interesting to know.